real quickly because it gives a foundation. And it's good to remind, not because you don't know these things, but you do. And like our brother Peter said, I stir you up by way of remembrance. I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, he said. So let's go to our daily, our weekly confession. And let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's incorruptible. I'm sorry. Sorry.
This word is God's incorruptible.
Planted in me. This word is God's being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. All these men that I'm going to be talking about this month had something to do in a time of transition. This country is in a time of transition, and we need to align ourselves so that we're ready in a time of transition to speak what's right, to do what's right, to act what's right, to influence right, and to set the standard. Don't let the world set your standard. I don't care how good it sounds and how right it sounds. If it's not the word, it's not going to last. It's not going to do it. I'll give you, if you turn to Daniel chapter 1, I'll give you a synopsis of the chapter. Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were appointed by the prince of the eunuchs, put this guy named Meltzer over charge of them, and they gave all the eunuchs. And by the way, the eunuchs were, that was an important position because the king had a harem, all the governors had their harems, all the magistrates had their harems, all the magi had their harems and so forth, and the eunuchs were important because they would take care of the harems. And they made sure that they're eunuchs. For the obvious reason. And so Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are carried away into Babylon. They were put in the house of the eunuchs. I'm not going to go into detail on that. But Daniel chapter 1, it says that they were appointed to eat the king's food. Daniel said, I'm not going to defile myself with that. Daniel was a man of the word. He knew the laws of Moses. He knew the dietary laws. He was educated in the Hebrew school, in the synagogue system. And he was a doer of the word. He said, I'm not going to defile myself. That food was sacrificed to idols, their gods. I'm not going to defile myself with that. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said the same thing. We're not going to defile ourselves with the king's food. And they went to Meltzer and said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to eat that food. He says, well, if you don't, my head's on the line. And he liked, God brought him into them into favor with Meltzer, the overseer. And he said, well, if I do that, my head's on the chopping block if you get sick. He said, well, test us then. Go 10 days. Give us the vegetables and things that we like, you know, that is legal for us to eat according to our God. And then compare us after 10 days. He said, well, that sounds good. Let's do that. And after 10 days, man, they came through shining. And the other guys didn't. So he said, okay, this is good. We'll just keep you on that diet and we'll do the rest with that diet. But Daniel, his story really starts in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, turn to Jeremiah 39. I'm going to read the first three verses. It says, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, by this time Israel was separated into two parts, the lower kingdom, which was Judah, and the northern 10 tribes were Israel. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all of his army against Jerusalem and besieged it. For 400 years, God had been sending prophets to the Jews in Judea and say, look, repent, 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 repent. And they didn't do it. God had no choice. So they lost the city. The city was besieged. And then 2 years later, in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, it was pretty accurate, isn't it? The city was broken up, piecemealed out, and all of the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar-Nebo, Sarsakim, Rab-Saris, Nergal-Sharezer again, Rab-Mag, with all of the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. This is a pretty impressive bunch right here. This were anybody who's anybody that was there. And these guys wanted to make sure that everything was carried away, that needed to be carried away, that they didn't even want Jerusalem to have an identity anymore other than the identity that they gave it. That's why they changed the names, Mishael and so forth, into Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, rather than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wanted you to identify with them, with their gods, with their system, with their ways of doing things, and erase the memory of who you were. Praise God. Praise God that they stayed in the Word. Now, there's two people here I want to bring to your attention that have to do with our study here today. The first one in verse 3 is Rab-Saris. This was not the man's name, it was his title. Rab meaning chief or prince, and Saris is eunuchs. You can look this up. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I do have a strong concordance. And I can look up the meaning. Rab-Saris is the chief or the prince of the eunuchs, an extremely important man in the kingdom, and he's there. Then the other Rab is Rab-Mag. Again, Rab meaning chief or prince, and Mag is the Magi. Now, the Magi had four different entities. In the Magi, you had soothsayers. They would interpret dreams. They would interpret times and seasons and so forth. You had astrologers, and they would do fatalistic type of charts, saying if you're born this time, so forth. Some people still believe in astrology. They did their cultish things. And then you had the Magi, and then you had the magicians, and then you had the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans are interesting. They were studiers of the stars, great students of the stars. And they would come up with, they actually are the ones who came up with the first calendars that we know of. And we're in the base 60 system that says there's 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, and so forth. We still use that. Now, that was all the Chaldeans. And here is Daniel now, the Rab-Mag. But he's not their Rab-Mag. He's God's Rab-Mag. In other words, now he is in authority and he is going to teach the word of God to the soothsayers, to the astrologers, to the magicians, and to the magi, the magicians. He's going to teach them all. Where do you think he would start? Yeah, Genesis 1. Yeah, it's true, because he started with Genesis 1:14, actually, because he met Daniel's wise. Remember, he was given wisdom and understanding and so forth. And he knew how to approach certain people and subjects. And he brought them in to where they had some understanding of the stars. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, what does it say? That the stars, yeah, there you go. Genesis 1:14. Now we know that this is the fourth day that the stars, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven and divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. This is where Daniel started off with them. I'll bet you anything. In fact, I wouldn't bet. I believe it. That got their interest. Now, he also knew that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So this is the fourth day. So they knew in the 4,000th year there was going to be something happening, because Daniel taught them about who wrote Genesis? Moses. Thank you, Sammy. Moses wrote it. So let's go to a prophecy of Moses in Numbers chapter 24. You know, you can get all of this in a book. I got it years before this book came out, but the thing is, Rick Renner documents all of this. And this word, Christmas, the rest of the story, what you don't know. And there is so much to reveal, and so many good things to understand. If you get this book by Rick Renner, it'll knock your socks off. It's a great, 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 great book. In Numbers 24, verse 17, we'll just give you a few highlights here. Moses is writing a prophecy, and he says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star. Whew, there's a star. Out of Jacob. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion and a scepter. Now this shall have dominion. He shall have a scepter and a dominion. To them, this means this is going to be the launch of a world leader who will affect change in the entire world. This is the leader, the world leader, that we need to be ready and waiting for. And in the 4,000th year, guess what the Magi were looking at? They were looking west. They were looking to the star. And when that star appeared, they started to get ready to go. 2 years later, they arrive in Jerusalem. Now, the Magi were powerful. They were powerful political figures as well, and held in esteem in all the world. They could, with one word, depose a king. With one word, they could set up a king. Same with a prince or anything. They had tremendous power. That's why Herod was so troubled when they came in Jerusalem with this huge, huge caravan of wagons and camels and soldiers. They had guards. They had an enormous treasure they were carrying, and it was guarded by a huge amount of soldiers. Rick Renner goes into the amount of soldiers that were with him, but it was huge. And they're saying, where is he who's born king of the Jews? Now Herod is upset. Do you see how powerful these men were? Because they did depose kings in Rome, in the Roman government, Roman Empire, and so forth. Before that, or after that, actually, that during the intertestamental period, they deposed a couple of kings, and for being ruthless, just spoke a word and they were done. So that's the kind of power they had. But here's the thing. They were looking for a world leader, and they followed that star to Jerusalem. And then they got the news, where's he is king of the Jews? The whole city was abuzz with it. Herod was upset. He called them in and says, where did you see this? How long ago? Two years ago. Where do you think it'd be born? Well, they came back and said Bethlehem. So Herod says, okay, go to Bethlehem and find him. He wasn't there. By that time, Jesus was a young child, and they'd moved to Nazareth. And they found him. And then he said, come back and report to me so I can worship him too. Yeah, right. So he saw he was snubbed and got ticked off and went and killed all the kids in Bethlehem, just like the prophecy said. Mourning and weeping in Rachel's children. So we see in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1 it closed, that said that now Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stand before the king now. In the king's house, Daniel sat in his gate. So now we have a dream that came to Nebuchadnezzar, and it shook him to the core. He called in all of the magi, the soothsayers, the magicians, and astrologers, and said, I want you to tell me the interpretation. They said, okay, what's the dream? He said, no, you tell me the dream too. He didn't trust them. You know, he said, you'll slide anything in if I tell you the dream. But, you know, just to do your stuff, you know, and make it hokey pokey. I want you to, if this is, you tell me the dream and the interpretation. Said, nobody can do that. So he ordered them all killed. And Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, came and got Daniel. He says, what are you doing? Why is the king so hasty in doing this? He said, because you're going to die. So he said, hold off. Let me go to the king. They stood before the king. The king had acquired them. The king had already, in Daniel chapter 1, found them 10 times better than anybody else. So he'd listened to Dan. So he said to Arioch, let me go before the king and ask him for just a little bit of time and we can get this thing done. He said, okay. In a sense, Daniel was interceding for the entire magi, the soothsayers, the magicians, and the astrologers as well. And he went before the king. He said, I just heard about this. Sorry, but let's see what we can do. Give me some time. I'll give you the answer. Really? Okay. So he went, got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego together. They prayed. God showed Daniel the answer. He showed him what the dream was, and he gave him the interpretation, and he went into the king. He says, oh, king, live forever. I got it. And he told him the dream, and it was a magnificent dream. And he told him the interpretation. And in Daniel chapter 2, let's go to verse 46. When he heard all this, it says, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshipped Daniel, a eunuch slave. And the most powerful man in the earth is worshiping Daniel. And commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors to him like he was a god or something. And the king answered, verse 47, and said to Daniel, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing you could reveal the secret. And listen to this. The king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So now Daniel is the Rav Mag, installed by the king himself. You see what a gift of the Spirit can do for you? It exalts you over all of the thing, of these attacks of the enemy, over all the mandates of a king. Over it doesn't matter what men say. And that's not just a coined phrase. This is the absolute truth. Because with one gift of the Spirit, you can turn around a leader of the entire world. Daniel. And then in verse 49, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province. He's supernaturally. See, now you say, oh, praise God, the king fell on his face. He acknowledged the God of all gods. The God of Daniel's God set him above. He's the prime minister. Answer only to one king, and that is the king. And Shadrach, we got the right people in place, and now things will go great. And then the very next chapter, what happens? There's a golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, it might have been their gods, but most likely it was an image of him. Why do I say that? Because Nebuchadnezzar was filled with pride. He just acknowledged the God who is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And he acknowledged all, and then he turns around and builds this image of himself. Maybe he gave Daniel too much power. So he wanted this image of himself, and he erected it, called all the governors, everybody who's anybody. He said, I want anybody who's in leadership in my kingdom to get to that place, and I want you to worship. And when the music plays and the shouting happens and all of this kind of music happens, I want you to fall down on your face and worship this image. And everybody did it, except three flies in the milk. They're just standing there. Praise God is right. So the Chaldeans, they go to Nebuchadnezzar and say, you told everybody to bow down, to fall on their face before this thing. And they said this in Daniel 3, verse 12. There are certain Jews who you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, they have not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, is this true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at the time you hear the sound of the da-da-da-da-da and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if you worship not, you'll be cast into the same hour into the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, mandates for worship don't work. Did Jesus ever command anybody to worship him? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I could just picture them filled with peace. Like, it's like Stephen, you know. Filled with peace. Faces of angels. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful, or we are not afraid or full of anxiety to answer you in this question. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. You think, what are these wise guys? No, they are standing in the palm of God's hand right here. You've got to know something. When you stand up, God's presence comes and gives you total and perfect peace. These guys were not anxious. They were not fearful. They were not worried, fretting, or anything. They stood in total peace. They had made their decision. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, be it known to you, king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, his demons came out, manifested. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and his form and visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat up the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, hosen, and hats, and whatever that is, and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men and flew them in. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down headlong into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. And he rose up in haste and spoke and said to the counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the furnace? They said, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. What's up? That was right. Here comes the king. The king. Praise God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you notice here they are supernaturally, and then he's still commanding, you come here. It's like he should have fallen on his face and said, tell me what to do. Verse 27, and the princes and governors, the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whom the bodies, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were the coats nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and has sent his angel and delivered his servants and that trusted him and have changed the king's word. These guys changed the king of the entire Babylonian Empire, changed his words, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which shall speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other god but you. Mandate. Mandate, don't ever make it a burden for somebody to believe in God. It is an invitation to liberty. Don't ever say, you have to do this, you have to do that. No, no, you don't have to. You know, mandate to worship. I mean, it does say, thou shalt worship the God. And, but, you know, does that really work? You know, Job 32, I think it was, Elihu said, when, you know, Job listened to his comforters, and there was this young guy named Elihu, and he says, you know, I've listened to you guys long enough. And there is a spirit in man, an inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Mandates don't work. Does God sit there, you worship me? No. It's an invitation to come and say, if you worship me, it'll give me avenues to bless you. That's the whole thing. You could read the Ten Commandments like this. You get to worship the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you know what? It will go well with you in your life. I will bless you. Ah, there's a spirit of man. And inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. So, where are we here? Mandates. You know, we just came out of a period of time where there are mandates given, the jab or the job. And we had people, we know people who took the jab. They didn't want to lose their job. Some of them died because of the blood clots and everything. That was the worst run series of events probably in the history of pandemics anywhere. It was a total grasp of problem. Did you know that there was a summit in Peru this year where the world leaders were going to gather and they were going to vote for the World Health Organization, WHO? Right. Who? That's what I want to know. It's one guy who's a communist. He's the head of, and how he got there, we don't even know, but they were going to devote their allegiance to the World Health Organization, whatever, and vote them. They are the ones who will dictate the health mandates to come down. So now we got a new president coming into office, and wouldn't you know, they just come up with another pandemic. That's what they're saying. Just another pandemic, just to put fear into people. Well, here's the thing. They came together to vote on that, and do you know who would have done it? Joe Biden. He would have gladly done that. He hates the United States of America. He absolutely detests the Founding Fathers and the Constitution. But do you know what stopped him from being able to do that? And give up our sovereignty to the who? Tommy, can you hear me? That's the who. Love that band. A while ago. Yeah, it still is. Still rocking. And But if you look at those guys now, they're not as flexible as they once were. Joe Biden, what is that? You know what stopped him from being able to release our sovereignty to the WHO? Was the United States Constitution. Tell me God wasn't in that thing. Hey! Wow! That was a news item, too, on Newsmax. It was either that or Tucker Carlson said that. One or the other, but he said, you know what? It's the United States Constitution that held Biden back from being able to really give our sovereignty away to the World Health Organization. We still have authority because of that. Now we're coming back into number one, world economy. Number one in military strength. You remember Reagan? Strength through power. Peace through power. They depend on the world depends on the United States to be strong for world peace sake. You know, reading the scriptures the other night, I was just thinking about the supernatural anointing on President Trump. And I think it was a mathematician came out with a report a month or so after President Trump almost got killed when he got his ear. And he tried to figure out the odds of him escaping that bullet. And it's astronomically off the charts. Unbelievable. There's only one thing that you can say is that was God's hand turning his head. He who knows the future. Walking with the one who knows your future. He knows what you need 5 years from now, 10 years from now. He knows what you need when you leave here. He knows everything. He knows who's going to run a stop sign when you get to an intersection. You go through a green light and somebody... He knows all of that. He knows the future. He knows your future. And he knows better than that, he knows the plans he has for you to give you an expected end, a future, and a hope. Praise God. Look at it. So the odds are impossible. It's impossible. But of course it is. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. I said, with God, all things are possible. It doesn't matter if you have 5 weeks left to live. All things are possible. What the doctor said is impossible with men. We should have known that. Don't fall off your chair. You should have known it is impossible with men. Lots of things are impossible with men, but not with God, because with God, all things are possible. If you can get a slave turned into a eunuch, getting the king of the world to fall down on his face and worship you and command sacrifices be made to you. Those are meat offerings that he's talking about. Say, we got to get this. Exalted. Daniel. But did Daniel fall into pride about that? No, we see all through the book. He stayed connected with God. How is that? He stayed in the Word, in the books of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And he not only stayed there in his mind, he stayed there with his actions. And he stayed faithful to God. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego stayed faithful to God. And we now in the New Testament have a supercharged, whatever that's called, turbo. Turbo on all the covenants. And so we can boldly say, when they say, if you don't take that shot, if you don't do this and do that, then we're going to fire you, we're going to force you into the... Hot dog, I'm ready to get promoted. I'm not careful to answer you, but I'm not going to bow to your instructions. I'm going to throw you in jail. Well, you did that in January 6th, and they're still in jail, some of them. And, you know, a lot of them, that's all coming back on you. Because the truth is going to come out how they stacked that crowd with FBI agents. Tried to pollute. They have, you know, the devil can't get away with anything. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. I remember in Palatine at that Brown's Chicken. What was it, 10 years later? After DNA came out and so forth, one guy had the presence of mind to get a little piece of chicken. And he matched the DNA to the guy, and that's how they found it. Look, God can do anything. He has the technology. He can rebuild you. He can restore you. We just talked about the blood that will complete you and speak on your behalf to the Father. That's all you need. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, or anything. You stay with God. Stay with Him. And you say, as He is, so am I in this world. Declare that. You are exactly who God says you are. And if you believe that what He says about Himself is true, you have to believe that what He says about you is true. He's proved it. The magnanimity of God is amazing. And it's all yours. That's what that shows me of Daniel. A man who walked with the living God. A man who saw the benefits and rewards of not only his faith, but God's faithfulness to him. Totally unmatched by any effort. Just do the word, and the word will promote you. Do the word, and be blessed in all of your deeds. Amen. Praise God. Did you get anything out of that? You know, when they made him Rab Mag, he's going to say, I got to teach these guys something. I got to teach them the truth. This is what happens. When you're promoted for a reason and a purpose, not to fill your head with pride, not to make you something that you're not. It's to have a better position to release the grace, mercy, and love and faith of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word is indestructible, incorruptible seed. Grow it up in us, Father. Help us to water it properly. Help us to get in the moment with you and to release ourselves from the cares of this life, lust of other things, deceitfulness of riches. Lord, that we rise above persecution and affliction and keep your word right centered in our hearts. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father.